The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
Well, I trust that you have had a good week. I know it's kind of crazy. Thinking about living in the last days, this is nothing to what is going to be. All right, if you have your lessons this morning, we're going to be talking about the church. And our objective this morning is really just to gain more understanding about who the church is, why the church exists, and the purpose of the church. Sometimes we, you know, it's we need to have the simple in front of us all the time. Sometimes we lose track of God's intention. And our verse today, this admonition that is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, actually, if you jump up in your Bibles and you start at verse 19, the admonition, there's much more to the admonition, but it begins with, because of who Jesus is, because of what he has done, we need to keep drawing near to God. We need to hold on to hope. We need to keep encouraging one another and keep our gathering together. Keep gathering together. So the 10:25 then says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And through this lesson, hopefully one of the things that stands out is that as we move through this lesson, we are going to see the value of our togetherness. The value of our togetherness. So, all right. So let's just get going here. Did I do that right or did I do that wrong? There we go. I got to flip this around. All right. So here's your fill in the blanks. Number one, the beginning of the church. Well, envisioned by God. Established by Jesus and energized, given life by the Holy Spirit. So let's take these one at a time. So envisioned by God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, Moses speaking to the children of Israel, telling them, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth to be his treasured possession. And then we find in 1 Peter, or is it, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter is using the same descriptors for the New Testament church, for the followers of Jesus. He says to them also, he said, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, what I want to do is I just want to bring out two words here, chosen and holy. And last week, Larry and Doug did a great job about sanctification, and they brought out this fact that this word hagios, holy, means to be separated, to be set apart. So they brought up the fact that the temple was set apart for the worship, for a particular use, for the worship of God. The utensils and the articles that were in the temple were set apart for a particular use. Now, when you drop that in, and they made mention of it, that the same way we are a holy people. In other words, we are a people that God has chosen and he has determined a particular purpose for. So just keep in mind those two words as we run through. And we understand that Israel was to be a light to the nations around them, to show the wonder, the majesty, the compassion, and the grace of who God, Creator God, is. And in the same way, it's no different. We, in the same way, here is why God has chosen us and He has separated us so that we could be a light to the nations around us, so that we could display and tell an example and help them hear and learn and see the reality of Creator God and who Father God is and His intentions for humanity from before the foundations of the earth. Secondly, is that the beginnings of the church, the church has been established by Jesus. Now, this context in Matthew chapter 16 is where Jesus is asking His disciples, He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Well, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the one that God has promised to deliver His people. You're Him." And Jesus says, "Peter, you're right, and upon that truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Number three, the church is energized or given life by the Spirit of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." In other words, there is this one unifying, empowering source that we, the people of God, have, and it is the Spirit of God resident in our lives. There is this, Acts chapter 1:8 says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the utter ends of the earth." So we have this divine enablement, and I think this is what we really need to get a hold of. Sometimes people, you know, when you talk about supernatural, they get all wigged out, but the reality is, here's something that'll freak you out. You really have the Spirit of the living God resident in your life when you receive Jesus Christ. If you can't, I mean, that's way too much to grab a hold of, and that is way beyond what we could think. But the reason we're able to live this life out, the way we're able to live it out, is because of what Christ has done through the divine impartation of the Spirit of God in our life that enables us. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you are sitting in here, if you didn't have the Spirit of God resident in your life, you would be living a very different life. And the reason you're living the life that you are now is because of that divine enablement in your life. I mean, just think with me right now. Here's something too. People think that, I can tell you right now, if God were, which He doesn't, to jerk the Spirit of God out on you, we'd all look at each other and say, "Let's go home. This is a crazy place to be." To think that we could go from darkness to light and have this awareness, but just think if you went from light back to darkness. We have what we have. We know what we know. We're able to do what we do because of the Holy Spirit resident in our life. And this divine enablement is not just to be a voice. It's about to be a life. Live a life to example out. All right, let's go to the next page. Let's look at the nature of the church. So, number one, the church is an ecclesia, and we're going to get into each one of these. In the universal church, the emphasis is on the unity of the church. Number three, the church is a koinonia. And number four, there is a oneness that is possible only through God's supernatural work. So let's look at these one at a time. When you see the word church in your English Bible, it is being translated from a Greek word that is ekklesia, which comes from two words. It means to call out from, to call out from. The verb, to call out from. The noun is those who have been called out, or the called out ones. So when it talks about the church, again, think about these two words, chosen and holy, set apart. So we as a body, we as individuals, and we collectively, God has called us out. He's called us to Himself, and He's called us to Himself for a particular purpose. Now, let me just say that, give a little clarity. So in Greek culture, this is a Greek word, and in Greek culture, there I went again, went my down on my little stool there. Not so high and mighty, am I? It is a reference, this word ecclesia is a reference to a legislative body of citizens of the Greek Republic that have been called out from their communities to serve their country. That's the definition of this word. So it may we see this then in the church. So we have been called out from the world to serve and to represent the kingdom of God, God's country, God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. We serve the king and we are called to serve in the kingdom of God. So Peter talks about we're ambassadors. So ambassadors are those that represent the country from which they come for to communicate thoughts, intents, desires, hopes, and aspirations. So this idea of the church is universal and local. So we know that there is the church. Those that have been called out worldwide into every country on the face of the earth. And then there are those, you drop that down a little smaller. So you have the Church of Brazil, but then you have the Church of what's your town? Whatever that is. Puerto Alegre. What does it say?
Happy Harbor.
Oh, why didn't you just say that? So the Church of Happy Harbor. And then the church here, assembled here this morning, those of us that have been called out, God has chosen with a particular purpose here at Cross Life Church. Okay, second one. In the universal church, the emphasis is on the unity of the church. Now, boy, we don't get this right, do we? The universal church, the focus is on the emphasis. So I say this to you a lot, but you know, we have a group of a half a dozen guys or so, and at varied times that changes number, but we sat in here on a Friday morning, we pray through and think through and ask the Lord, what do you want us to communicate to the body, and how does that need to be communicated? And when we're in there, there's all kinds of conversations that go on, that go a lot of different directions. But in those conversations, I'm always going, all right, from all of us, what can we say yes and amen to? What can we agree on? This is true. Because, you know, when you look at prophecy, we can all have different views about that. We can all have different views on behaviors. We have all kinds of different views on lots of different things. But when we come here on a Sunday morning, it's not to throw out everything that's random, that's scattered, but how can we agree? How can we come into unity about what is important? And I love, since the first day I got here, Tom Rowan has always said, okay, those things don't matter. We need to be able to agree on what are the important doctrinal truths that hold us together as a body of Christ. And I think sometimes we need to remember that and think through that and be about those things. I run into people all the time that think a lot of different ways, and I don't go, that's wrong for you to think that way. I usually try to steer the conversation to say, here's how we have agreement on these things, and this is how we can labor together and be together to serve in the kingdom of God. So Ephesians chapter 4, I don't have these scriptures written down, but if you want to write them down, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, and then it goes through verse 16, but I'm just going to read some selected verses there. So here Paul, and for those of you that know this, the book of Ephesians is divided out this way. Chapters 1 through 3 are doctrine. It's just teaching. This is truth. And then 4 through 6 says, Now, because of these truths, this is how we should live. And by the way, after Easter, we're going to have a series that way. We're going to collectively as a body, we're going to brainstorm together to think through this. Because of these truths, how are we to live? What are the most important things that Jesus is telling us through His Word about how we should live here in this life on this earth? And so Paul says, so chapter 4, verse 1, there's a shift. Here's all this teaching. This is what's true. Now, here's a shift in 4:1. He goes, now, let me just say this. Because of who I am, because I've devoted myself to Christ, because I'm His slave, because I'm an ambassador, because I'm His servant, this is what I urge you to do. I urge you to live a life that is worthy of what you have been called to. Not being completely humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And now remember, know this, each one of you has been given this grace. You've been given this grace from Christ, verse 12, to prepare, to help God's people to do the work of the ministry so that the body would be built up until we all reach a unity in the faith in the Son of God and a knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature and attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, let's look at number 3. The church is a koinonia. Now this word, a Greek word again, it translates into our English translation as fellowship. But it's really, it's a big word, and it's tasty. Right? Have you ever bit into something and went, wow, that's really good. There's really a lot of flavor in that. That's what I like when I cook, and people that I cook for, they bite into it, and they go, wow, this is tasty, I love this. And every bite, they just get more out of it. That's this. Because it has this idea, it is a participation, it is an impartation, it is this idea of sharing together. Now, let's just kind of walk this a little bit slowly. So we understand as we have fellowship, we're together. And we share together. But the reason that we have this and we are able to share together is because of what God has done through Christ. Because of Peter says it this way. I'm going to turn there. You can turn with me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm just going to read it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He says this, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us these very great and precious promises, so that through them you may be participators in His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So this idea of koinonia is that we have this fellowship, we share together. And here, I've written it, what does koinonia mean? Koinonia is our participation together in the life of God through Jesus Christ. So we're able to do this because of what He's put in our life. We are able to share this life together. Let's look at number 4. This nature of the church, it is a oneness that is possible only through God's supernatural work, which we talked about. And it's really characterized by, you could say it's characterized by the work of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We could put in a lot of things here. The idea of it's characterized by love and grace and kindness and forgiveness and humility and obedience. But all this takes place because of this supernatural work. Let me say this simply. Supernatural, above what is natural. So before we were believers, we were aware of five senses, right? What is it? Hearing, sight, smell, touch, taste. You become a believer, there's another sense that you're very aware of, the sense of the supernatural, the sense of the unseen. And that is very God, God's very presence. So, because of what the Spirit of God has done for us and how He moves through our life, there's a lot of things that characterize us, but it's because of what He has done and who He is in us and moving through us. In the next page are some others, talking about God's presence, talking about unity, talking about acceptance, talking about sharing things together, suffering together, remembering together the Lord's Supper, that deep spiritual awareness of because of what Christ has done through His body and blood, we share together in this life, and we have hope in this life and in the life to come. So when we're together, we practice koinonia. We practice this participation. We practice this. We're aware of this impartation, this sharing of this life together. All right, let's go to the next page, and let's talk about these, and we're going to do this together. So, metaphors for the church. Now, let me just give some thought here. You know, a metaphor is, of course, a figure of speech that describes or helps explain something. It really kind of gives us kind of a further or a greater understanding about something. Jesus did this all the time when He said the kingdom of God is like. And here, there are five descriptors, of the church. Number one, the church is the flock of God. Number two, it's the family of God. Number three, it's the bride of Christ. Number four, the building of God. And number five, the body of Christ. So let's take these one at a time. And let's just kind of input. So when you think about the first one, when you think about flock, and this, if it's a metaphor, and it's something that is really there to help kind of describe or explain or give us a greater understanding about who we are as a church and what that might look like, what are some things that come to your mind when you think of flock, a flock? Right there, Amy.
Wait,
there you go.
It's on?
Okay. Yeah.
I think this metaphor is really the one that like kind of shows how we follow Christ the most out of the rest of them. The way that He's not only like our protector, but also our leader. And we follow by His example, and He teaches us.
Okay. Somebody else? Keith, and then Ralph is next. Andrew, he's right here.
Of the same,
that was weird.
Of the same group.
This one's very loud.
Well, that was brief.
Well, reading. Good job, Keith. Did how many could believe Keith did that?
Yeah.
No. I got in trouble from Denise, just so you know.
Just reading through the scripture real quick. There it says, "Other sheep." From other than this sheep pen, and then bring them all together as one. I think of a greater spiritual genetic pool.
Rosemary?
Safety. When you're together, when the flock is together, they're safer than one off on its own. And I think that when we regularly gather together and we are part of the flock of God, there is that measure of safety in there. When somebody goes off on their own, they're susceptible to all sorts of attacks from Satan.
Okay. Was there somebody else over here?
Is this on?
Yeah. It is.
I had seen the same thing about kind, you know, in Genesis where God made animal after his kind and this after his kind, that we are made after the kind, the divine nature of Christ now. And it's just beautiful that we have so much different personalities and different giftings, and yet we're of the same kind. We belong to this one big family.
Okay. Somebody else? Anybody else? Up here? Ray, and then up here, Barbara.
I just really...
Just a second. Go ahead, Ray.
I just really think of submitted, you know, that we're submitted to God to follow the Lord.
Okay.
They're like a flock of geese. They're all going in one direction. They're all thinking alike for the better, for the following the Lord. They're working to help with the church. They're all doing all the things together and keeping everyone loving and obeying good.
Okay. All right, let's look at the next one. Let's look at family thoughts. Look at your own family. Be careful what you say. Otto.
Order.
Okay.
And unconditional love. Support.
Go ahead, Keith.
A related group.
Go ahead. I'm writing fast. Go ahead.
A sense of belonging.
Okay.
We are not alone.
Not alone. Denise, is somebody else over here? Okay, Denise. Thanks.
A bloodline bond that can't be bought or replaced.
All right. Let's look at the next one.
Adopted.
Oh, go ahead.
Adopted.
Adopted. Let's look at the next one. The bride. What comes to your mind? You know, here God has given us analogies to give us understanding about the church, and he uses this term bride.
Set apart for, promised to.
Okay, somebody else? You don't have anything to think about that?
Chosen.
You mean lucky. Fred.
I think of the white dress, spotless, clean.
Okay. White.
Protected.
Protected. All right. Somebody else?
Loved.
Otto?
Waited for.
Waited for. Yeah. How long did you waited for your bride?
30 years.
What does 30 translate to? Anyone else?
Eternally bounded to.
Eternally bound to. I like that. Somebody else?
It's one and only bride.
Okay, one and only.
It's not rejected, even when she is not perfect or deceived or make all of the mistakes and sins. She's not rejected.
That's confession time for you, huh? Somebody else? All right, let's go to the next one. Building. Thoughts. Building. You are the building of God. What kind of thoughts come to your mind when God is trying to give us clarity about what the church is supposed to be? Amy? Go ahead, Andrew.
Strong. Built together.
Okay, strong.
Hold.
Yeah, I don't think so much of where it is, but how it's made.
How it's made.
That built upon cornerstones and...
Okay.
Say the how Christ calls himself the cornerstone.
Okay.
It reminds me that God is the our cornerstone.
Yes, he is. Good job. Somebody else, AJ or JD?
When I hear the word building, I think construction or, in a way, under construction.
Oh, that's good. Under construction. That's for sure. You're not finished till you breathe your last breath. So how many want to be done? Deb?
Building is meant to be filled. It's meant to be a dwelling place.
Oh, that's good. That's real good. Otto?
It's not a bunch of raw material all apart. They are well fixed together, connected to the proper use of each part.
And if he's building it, how many know he's kind of good at that? He knows what he's doing, right? Anyone else? People encouraging others?
Encouraging other people to do the right things.
Like, okay.
Like they were did in Jesus' day.
Okay. All right, let's do the last one, the next page. Then we're going to come back to these. I got some thoughts about them. Number five, the body. So what are thoughts come to your mind when Jesus is trying to help us understand that the church is a body?
Kenzie?
Yes.
I always like to think about it like if we have all bunch of members who, apart from each other in a box, you don't have a body, you have a box of parts of body. So when the Bible said that we have to be joined with the ligaments and stuff that and hold the head, so you have the living body, everybody together connected the right way in the right place, and together, like having the movement, not being a stuck stuff.
Okay, go ahead, Amy. Or go ahead, Andrew.
I think of it as complex. It's not just something walking around. It's that has a heart that can pump, and the brain tells it to do everything, and you can't survive without a leg. You need all of it together, and you need everything.
That's good. That's good. Keith?
I think of it as a privilege. It's a privilege to be in the body of Christ, that no matter what you do for the Lord, if it's what the Lord wants you to do, that's what you need to do.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I think of different, but still together. Because, you know, everything does something different. Like, you can't, like it says, like, an ear can't be a foot, a hand can't be a leg. Everything does something different and has different purpose, but they all have one goal.
That's good. Somebody else? JD? You're getting your exercise, aren't you, Barbara?
Worthy. The body is worthy. The body of Christ in the sacrament, we're reminded to partake in, was broken for us.
High price paid. Mm-hmm. Amy?
I think about how we need to have the Spirit. We need to have our body to have the Spirit dwell in it, so the Spirit dwells in our body in the same way that as a whole, the body of Christ, the Spirit dwells in us all as a whole. Mm. So when the whole church is the body, the Spirit dwells in it the same way that the Spirit dwells in my body or anybody who's accepted Christ.
Well, that's good. Go ahead, Scott.
Homeostasis.
What?
Homeostasis. It means that you are...
Well, speak into the mic. I can't hear you.
It's all your whole body working together, making a balance.
Balance. I like that. That is good. Man, this is good stuff. Now, we could take each one of these and just spend some time on each one to think about if he uses these, then there's real purpose in them. And I think sometimes we just kind of, we can think the both sides of this, you know, the negative sides of these things that we need to have precaution of. and the beautiful things about these that we need to focus on and have interest towards. Go ahead, Josh.
When I think the body in and of itself, I think frailty, but then just of how our body is very finite, mortal. But then when you join it in with Christ, of just thinking that we are nothing apart from Christ and how we need to be in him to be able to survive, essentially, and have homeostasis. Yes.
All right. Go ahead, Barbara.
I always think, like, that when we partake communion, that, like, the bread is kind of like the glue that joins us together to make the bread of Christ or the body of Christ.
And that's good. Good stuff. Receiving the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sid?
The last part is actually, even though how small we do for Christ, but it's for Christ, we're not ignored.
Amen. Not
because
ignored.
You are fulfilling, even though from you're the very far part of it, but you're still close to God because you're glued to it.
I like that. It says each one supplies the need of the other. Now, let me just say.
Tracy?
Sorry. Yes.
Can I just?
You may.
One thought. Isn't it bad when our hand or our feet is hurt and cannot do his part? If our feet is like twisted or broken, it's so difficult for us to walk. And sometimes I think that
we all need more to understand exactly what is our part of the body for us to be operating. What is the word again? That word. For us to operate that way, we all need to understand our part, understand
yes.
more ourselves,
yes.
and so to cooperate. Otherwise, if you have a hand that cannot hold things, it's missing its part.
Potential, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so thinking, I was thinking through this, I think two things. One of them is just realizing his part and our part. So he is a shepherd. He is here. We are under him. We are his sheep. He is Father. We are children. He is the head of the church. We are his bride. God is the builder. And we are what he is putting together, what he's building. And lastly, as far as the body, I think it this way. He's the example. He is the example. And we are participators in that. We're members in that. So this role that we have, that God is the one leading, and we get to be a part of what God is doing. And you think about it in all these varied ways. So thinking about a flock is that we're led together. As a family, we live together. As a bride of Christ, we find new life together. As a building, we're put together. We find our place together. As a body, we grow together. We learn together. And we example together. One of the things that I've so been amazed and honored and grateful and humbled before God with is that from the very start and through this whole time of us being together, the body, we haven't had these schisms and splits and divisions and bickering and fight. At least I don't know about it. I've never seen that. I've never seen that. And I think it's because we're understanding these concepts. Look, we're all in this together in God's head, and we're just trying to be humble and do what he wants to do and understand that we belong to one another, and we got to learn to love each other, and we've just got to get in this place so that God can continue to have control of our lives, this body collectively, so he can be glorified. All right. Let's go to this. Next page. Well, let me say this before I jump there. If God has done so much to bring us together as a flock, a family, a bride, a building, and a body, then it stands to reason that we will find His life here in these things, our sense of belonging and our sense of purpose. It is in this togetherness, because all these things have that in common, this togetherness, that God moves to fulfill His purposes. All right. Next page. There's two on your page, but actually I put in a third one. So number one, the Great Commission. The mission of the church. The Great Commission, the Great Commandment, number two. And three, the Great Collaboration. Now again, keep these two words in mind, chosen and holy. God has chosen us. He's called us out for a particular purpose. We've been set apart for a particular reason. I was thinking about, I'd heard this somewhere, someone says, it's not does the church have a mission, but does the mission, what God is up to, does it have a people that are acknowledging and aware that He's called, He's chosen us for a reason? So does the mission have a people? Does the mission of God have those that are called out and aware of what His intentions are for us? So the idea of Great Commission, these are all very familiar to us. We are to go and to make disciples of all nations. So as we go, we are to help people understand what we've been helped to understand, to help them grow into this knowledge and awareness of who Christ is. So as they lay their life down, they can see God's work in and through their lives. That's discipleship. It's life on life, sharing life together. It's learning, growing, building together. So how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that the same way that God did, the way He exampled it, the way that Jesus exampled it. It's the Great Commandment. So we are to, what? Love God, and we're to love others. That's how this thing works. That's how people see it, because what's it say? They will know that you are who you are, that you're mine, because of the way they watch your life. They see this love, this interaction in your lives together. You know, jumping back up to number one, thinking about this as far as the Great Commission, the last part of the verse that's on their page that I love, Jesus said, you know what, I'm with you in it. I love that. I'm with you in it and all the way through it in your life. In your individual life. Now, listen, our individual lives have ups and downs. There's these high points because we're really, the grace of God is flowing in our life and we're surrendering our life and God just, He's there and He's close. And there are those other moments and times like, what is going on? Where are you? I don't understand. It's through the blessing that we find these things. It's through the pruning, the purging, the trials, the tribulation. I don't want to hear that, Tracy. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's in the Scriptures. It's a part of it. And that great contention about all that God had promised and all the good that He said they would have, and how is that going to come to pass? It's going to come pass through His blessing, and His blessings sometime come through rain. Sometimes because of storms of life. It's sometimes because of disadvantages and the trials that we face that break us down to this place where we realize it's all about you. This is not about me. And so when you think about this promise, here's what I want you to do. As you're living this life, as you're moving forward from your first breath to your last, here's what I want you to know. I am with you every moment of every day, all the way through. I don't know about you, but that just revs my gears. that gets me going, to know that even when I don't understand, I don't see, and life seems to be very confusing to me, I know that He is there, He's with me through it all. All right, let's look at the last one. The great collaboration, and I'm just going to read, if you can write this down, these verses are not there, John chapter 17, and we're just about done. John 17, 20 through 23, this great collaboration. The heading above this is Jesus' prayer to the believers, and He says, "My prayer is not for them alone." He's praying to Father God, "God, I just want you to, I want you to separate these people so that they can have what they need, and my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You, that they may also be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I've given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them, You in Me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me." So this participation, this sharing together because of what God has done and God has imparted in our lives and in our midst when we're collectively together. I think if we could kind of see it when we're, you know, it's one thing when we're alone and we have this relationship, but collectively together, it's like organized chaos. More energy. There's more that God is doing in our midst when we're together. So, let me finish up with this thought, this challenge. See, God does what God does best when we're together. Because there's just this thing that takes place, this participating that takes place, and sometimes it's when we don't even know it, when we least expect it. I'm reminded of a time that Jorge Navarro, they're planting their church, and Darcy Romano said, hey, could we on First Wednesday just have a time together, and we want to pray for Jorge and Liz and their team, and, you know, as they're going to go plant their church. And I went, that'd be a good idea. And I said, why don't you just run with it? Okay, so she did, and it was very laid back. How many of you were here when that happened? It was very laid back. And it was almost kind of awkward laid back. And it was kind of, I don't know how to explain it. But I'm in there thinking, okay, I would have done this differently. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm like fast, put it in high gear, let's go. And she just very slowly, and it was just step by step, kind of just walking through, doing the natural things, the deliberate things that we should do and think about, right? So anyway, we're done with the evening, and I'm just musing about that, and not, you know, I'm going, okay, well, we did what, you know, we did it. And the next day, Jorge called me. Now, again, think about this as this participation that we have, this sharing life together as a body. The purpose was that they would be encouraged, right? He called me the next day, and he goes, wow, that was awesome. And I went, all right, well, tell me about that. He said, because it helped us see that we don't have to have flashing lights and smoke for God to show up and say something to us. And God spoke to us very clearly that night. Don't make it about that. Make it about the simplicity of the gospel. Make it about Me. So, you know, just, I don't know. It was awesome. But when we were together, God moved. So thinking about this as a flock, being led together as a family, as we live this life together, as a bride, as we find this new life together, and as a building as we come together, and as a body as we grow together. God does more when we're together. So, Father, I thank you for your goodness, faithfulness. I'm just asking that you would help us in only the way you do. Say things to us in only the way you can, so that we can have a greater understanding, so that we can become more of what your desire is for us individually and collectively, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have an amazing week.